Welcome to First Baptist Clinton. Glad that you're here this morning as we gather together for worship to honor the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is always with us. Sometimes we need a little reminder that He's with us, and so we gather this morning for worship to recognize His presence and power. If you are a guest of our congregation this morning, thank you for choosing to worship with us. You'll find a connection card in the worship program, and if you would be so kind as to fill that out and at the end of worship bring it to me, I'll be out in the lobby. That'll give us a chance to meet. And then the backside of that is a prayer request form. And so if you have prayer needs, we have intercessors who will pray for you this morning. Just place those in the offering plate. Back to the guests for just a moment and folks who may be new to First Baptist. This evening at 5:30 in the conference room, which is down this hallway, I'll be there for a new thing that we're starting called Second Sunday with the staff. And so if you want to just come and visit, I'll be there and look forward to having the opportunity to visit with you. Let me remind you this morning of a couple of things that got left out of the program. For preschoolers and children, okay, preschool parents, this is for you. 9 o'clock Tuesday morning here for dogs and ducks. Tomorrow, Monday. Why did I write down Tuesday? Okay, Monday, Lyle East is going to have his dogs here and do some duck herding. And so, and you may want to just come. It's pretty phenomenal, but it's really for preschoolers. So if you don't have a preschooler, just borrow somebody's grandchild, you know, and bring them on, you know. So that's it. That's Monday. And then the children's events Tuesday at 10 is fishing. And then Thursday at 1, we hope to have the ducks back, the dogs and ducks on Thursday. Did I get that right? Okay, good deal. So children's and preschooler events this week. And thank you for all of you who've signed up to help with those events. And if you haven't signed up, it's not too late. You can show up on Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday and get involved. Let's stand together and sing this song, Come Thou Fount. And as we do, let's just rejoice in the Lord.
Thank you. I'm Gene Reed. I'm the Deacon of the Week this week. And the last two times I've been Deacon of the Week, I felt like the Maytag repairman. Now, some of you aren't giggling or smiling. Ask people my age and you'll know what I'm talking about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the rest of the night and the promise of this brand new day. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity that we have to come here this morning to worship You. Father, we are also grateful that we have the opportunity to witness once again a baptismal ceremony and see firsthand Your saving grace. We ask, Father, that You bless the rest of this service, that as the word is spoken, that people might respond to You and come to Jesus Christ and be their personal Savior. For it's Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, it is indeed a pleasure for us this morning to worship through the celebration of baptism. And so this morning we rejoice with Katie Sievers. And so, Katie, come right on in. If you're here this morning, family and friends of Katie, if you'd please stand so she can look out there and see you. There you go. See them all standing there? All right. That's okay to wave at them, right? So I'm going to let them be seated so that others can see. Turn you right around here. Okay. Grab hold here. Give me a hand. All right. Katie, what confession brings you to these waters? Jesus is my Lord. Katie, based on your confession that Jesus is your Lord and by the authority of the church and in Jesus' name, we baptize you as our sister in Christ. Amen. Katie, you're buried with Christ and raised to walk a brand new life in Jesus. Today we also celebrate the baptism of Alyssa Smith. And if you're here with Alyssa, you would please stand. Okay, so we've got a crowd of folks over on the other side of the building there, Alyssa. All right, we'll let them be seated. Okay. Alyssa, what confession brings you to these waters?
Jesus the Christ.
Jesus the Christ, that's right. Well, based on your confession that Jesus is the Christ, then we, and by the authority of the church and in Jesus' name, we're going to baptize you as our sister in Christ. Amen. Alyssa, you're buried with Christ and raised to walk, a brand new life in Jesus. Praise God. Praise God.
You are the peace in my trouble. See, whoa, you you've just seen a part of the things that we did in Canada, and the last few years we've had the opportunity to go and serve with other pastors, with some pastors and other people from Missouri and a few from Kansas. But through Acts 1:8, we've been given that opportunity to help this youth camp on an island in Canada. One of the most impressive things to me was the fact that last year at this camp, they entertained 1,079 young men and women to be a part of the camp. During that time last year, they had 247 professions of faith. You know, this Pete has a heart for the young people of Canada, and you know, it's just amazing the things that they're doing, and certainly feel blessed to have been a part of that again this year.
Well, it's an amazing thing to go up there and see the young people of Canada just come and spend their summer there and help people to see God. When you get in that setting, there's no TV. You do have reception on your phone if you go stand out on the dock, something like this. You're away from everything, and you have a chance to truly experience God. All you got to do is get up at 5:30 in the morning and walk out on the dock and look across the lake. If you can't see God there, I'd say there's something wrong with your vision. But it's just a beautiful place, and they are doing great things to reach the youth of Canada there. And as Russell said, it has been quite a success over the last two or three years.
This happened to be the 75th anniversary of this camp, and the only thing I would say, Pete Dearborn is the camp director, and he told us when we left, and our group's been going about 15 years. We've only been going 4 years, but the emphasis has been more toward evangelism since our group's been involved, and he said it has made a difference, and the facts that Russell gave is witness to that, so thanks for helping.
Kids, please come forward for the children's message.
If he has the bag today, something good in the bag?
Yeah.
It's soft and it's full. You had to squish it down to get it to fit in that bag, didn't you? Let's see what this is. So, in the bag is... What is it? Huh?
It's a wolf.
A wolf? I never saw a wolf look like that.
And that's a polar bear.
It goes from wolf to polar bear, right? Okay. Well, the Bible talks about the evil one sneaking around and hiding and coming to come after us, and he comes looking like one thing, but in reality, he is just trying to trick you so that he can get you to sin and do things that are not good for you and that are against God. So, you know, he's a great deceiver and liar, and so he's always trying to trick us. So you never know what it's going to look like, right? Because he sneaks up on you. And so the Bible teaches us how to deal with that. You know what it says? Really simple.
The
Bible says that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. So all we have to do is just say, I'm resisting. So we resist him and he goes away. So we resist him not in our own strength, but we resist him in Jesus' name. So in Jesus' name, we push him away, and we then, each time we push him away, we get stronger, in our relationship with the Lord. And so let me just encourage you. Okay, practice this. I'm resisting. Say that with me. I'm resisting. Okay? One more time. I'm resisting. Okay, that's how we get victory over the evil one. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you that the evil one has no power by comparison to your power, and that you have taught us to resist the devil and he will flee. So I pray that these boys and girls will learn early in their lives how to resist him so that he will flee from them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Jesse, thank you. Anybody having a birthday next week? No birthdays? Oh, in October. Okay. What day in October is he?
October 30th.
October 30th. Okay. Well, that's a little bit away. Okay. So we have a boy today. Is there a girl who'd like to have the bag next week? All right. Would you like to have the bag next week? All right. Do you know the rules? The rules are nothing dead, nothing alive, no poison ivy. Bring it back the same time next week. Can you do that? Okay. There you go. So Bethany will be our pastor's pal next week, right? Okay, thank you. Thank you, boys and girls.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Matthew 28:16-20.
Let's stand and sing. I think we've been sitting for a little while, haven't we? So let's stretch out our legs and let's sing, "Let Your Kingdom Come."
Thank you.
say together,
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the work
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that in you we are redeemed. And Lord, please be with these tithes and offerings. May they go to further your message of love and redemption to a lost and dying world. And I ask all these things in your name. Amen.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing fast. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. Right now.
Thank you, Jennifer. Yeah. and others. And Lauren, thank you for leading us this morning in Kevin's absence today. This morning we are continuing our look at the common sense counsel from God's Word. And today, our word is, that's not what I was expecting to see. Our word is choices. And a few years ago, Chris and Sydney Smith, 12 years ago, made a choice. And so we recognize today and say thank you for your 12 years of long-term marriage, good role model. So thank you, Chris and Sydney, 12 years today. Kind of runs in the family, 24 years today. Paula and Tony Bullock made the choice, and thank you for long-term marriage. Grateful to you for that. And it doesn't end there. You know, this is a generational thing that takes place, and it all began 57 years ago today with the choice that Don and Karen made. Thank you for your long-term marriage relationship. So we value those. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 is where we will go this morning. Every person in this room, especially believers, every believer should constantly seek the counsel of God's Word, because life is crafted by our choices. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to pleasure their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So each one of us live, you know, life is just a series of choices. And so every day when we get out of bed, we begin a series of choices that affect that day. Sometimes we make choices that affect other days long term, but every day in life is just a process of making choices, choice after choice after choice after choice. And for those who struggle with making choices, you know, that just takes them longer to get through their day than folks who can make choices decisively and quickly. But we have so there's a sense in which we don't have a choice about sowing in life, because life is that process that we go through. But the picture that Paul paints for us is that of making a conscious choice to sow, because it is important for us to understand that if you don't sow into your life the seeds of the Word of God, you cannot reap from your life and in your life the benefit and the value of God's Word in your life. Because if you don't sow, you can't reap. How many of you have ever harvested a garden you didn't plant? They call that stealing. Just think about it, you know. The Scripture calls us to intentional living. That is, that every day of my life, I make choices to live either for the flesh or for the Spirit of God. And so, through the course of my day, I'm constantly choosing, am I going to live for the flesh or am I going to live for the Spirit? Am I going to live for the flesh or am I going to live for the Spirit? And so, we have to choose not only to sow, but we have to choose what to sow. We, through the course of our lives, and through the course of our days, we sow seeds of thought and seeds of action. So thoughts and actions. When we sow seeds of thought, we're building our internal person, and we're growing in the relationship and understanding of who we are. When we sow seeds of action, we are that's our outer life, and that influences other people, and sometimes that influences them positively, sometimes negatively, sometimes it benefits them, sometimes it takes away from them. We are constantly choosing to sow thoughts and deeds in the course of a day. And I will remind you that the nature of the seed determines the nature of the harvest. So if you're sowing thoughts that are to the flesh, you're going to reap an internal process that's fleshly oriented. If you're sowing actions that are to the spirit, then you're going to reap a spiritual life and relationship with the people around you. So we choose what we're going to sow, and we choose where we're going to sow. So you get ready to plant a garden, the first decision is where you're going to put it. Farmers look at their fields and they decide which field they're going to plant which crop in. Sometimes they decide we're not going to plant anything in this crop. This is a fallow year for this particular field. It's a part of healthy rotation of the agricultural process. Don't overwork the soil. Sometimes you just let it lay. But it is a process of making a decision about where you will sow. Paul lays out for us this reality in these verses that we have to decide. Are we going to sow to the Spirit, or are we going to sow to the flesh? And so as a result, in chapter 5, Paul tells us in chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, he said, this is what sowing to the flesh looks like. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So Paul tells us, you may choose to sow to the flesh, but it comes at a very high cost. So you sow thoughts of and deeds to the flesh. The harvest, it says, is the moral decay. We go from bad to worse until we perish. Left to our own, without the power of the Holy Spirit in us, many of us will track that way. He also says in Galatians 5, the fruit, beginning with verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. When you sow thoughts and deeds from the fruit of the Spirit, when you sow love, you reap love. When you sow joy, you reap joy. When you sow peace, you reap peace. And so on the list goes. When you sow thoughts and deeds to the Spirit, then the harvest is it's both moral and spiritual growth in your life until we are perfected in eternity. It is that process that we live in as believers, where we're constantly, hopefully, constantly growing because we are sowing to the Spirit and not sowing to the flesh. So in this process, we make choices every day. We make choices about what we're going to sow and where we are going to sow. And the Bible says that when you sow to the flesh, you reap the flesh. And when you sow to the Spirit, you reap the Spirit. Now, there are two things about the harvest that we need to remember. The harvest comes later. All right? So I get to sowing in the Spirit, and I want immediate response. I want results. I want to see progress in my own life, and I want to see it now. You know, that's why you pray for patience, right? So Paul says in chapter 6, verse 9, that in due time you reap the harvest. So all around us, people are planting right now. I haven't seen any of them bring out combines. They ran planters yesterday, Friday. But they didn't show up this morning with combines because the harvest comes later. So you may think, I'm sowing that you can sow to the flesh and get away with it. Because when you sow to the flesh, it doesn't necessarily mean that the harvest is right now. But down the road, you sow thoughts and actions to the flesh. Down the road, in due time, you reap a harvest from the flesh. And so I just encourage you this morning to sow to the Spirit rather than to the flesh. So the harvest comes later. The second thing about the harvest is it's greater. See, when you plant that seed in the ground, let's say you put a kernel of corn in the ground. And it's a reasonably good year, and that it germinates, it sprouts, creates a stalk, you get the rains at the right time. You put one kernel in, you're going to get two ears out. All right? Ears on average have 16 rows. That's why you can eat them in four passes. Think about it. 800 kernels. So you put one in, and you get 1,600 because the harvest is greater than the sowing. Now think about it for a moment. If you're sowing to the flesh, and that pleasure may feel really good right now, the destruction that comes is greater. The destruction that comes is far greater than what you are sowing. If you're sowing to the Spirit, and as you sow in the Spirit, remember that the reward that comes is far greater than the seed you have sown. Now, this doesn't mean that nothing bad's going to happen in your life, because bad things happen to good people all the time. Sowing in the Spirit helps us look beyond the circumstance to recognize that there's a greater harvest ahead. Doesn't free us from difficulty and hardship and illness. It just gives us a different perspective. Paul started these verses with this phrase, God cannot be mocked. Literally, from Mark Phillips, God is not being turned up the nose at. God is not being turned up the nose at. You can't turn your nose up to God. You can't. God is not mocked. The way you may fool yourself. You may fool yourself, but you cannot fool God. From time to time, I encounter people that talk about having this special deal with God. You may be able to fool yourself, but you can't fool God. God doesn't make special deals with us. He calls all of us the same. We are sinners in need of repentance. So if I sow in one field and expect to harvest in another, that's a form of mocking God. If I sow to the flesh and expect to grow spiritually and have a spiritual harvest, that's mocking God. If I believe the Word of God, or at least say I believe the Word of God, and do not obey the Word of God, that's a form of mocking God. So we are called to make a choice. And that choice brings into alignment our thoughts and our actions, either for the flesh or for the spirit. See, the farmer goes out to plant corn because corn prices are good, the futures look good. He thinks, I'm going to plant corn. So he plants corn. Well, through the course of the summer, the market falls, corn prices crash. And so when it comes harvest time, he puts on his bean head, because beans have gone up. You think, that's crazy, right? Who would do that? You do it. I do it. We sow to the flesh and expect to grow and reap in the spirit, unfortunately, more often than we should. Let me remind you, there is no miracle harvest. What you sow is what you reap. And we are not helpless victims of our nature and temperament and environment. On the contrary, what we become depends largely on how we behave, and our character is shaped by our conduct, and our conduct is shaped by our choices. The old adage is true. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. What are you sowing? Are you sowing to the flesh? That's what you expect to reap. Sowing to the spirit? That's what you expect to harvest. Paul says, if you sow to the flesh, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you sow to the spirit, you reap a spiritual harvest of growth that leads to, ultimately, perfection in heaven. Because God is perfecting us through the continuing work of His Holy Spirit. So every day, when we start the course of our day, we set in motion a string of choices. Choices, one that will follow another. Choices that will be sowing thoughts and actions for the spirit, or sowing thoughts and actions for the flesh. Paul, I remind you, tells us that as believers, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. You know what it means to crucify? Put to death. They've crucified the flesh. Put to death the Christ, the flesh. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So tomorrow morning, when you get up and you start the course of your day, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about Galatians chapter 6, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us walk in step with the Spirit. And ask yourself, how am I going today to walk in step with the Spirit? And then let the decisions, the choices that you make throughout the day be reflective of a walk in the Spirit. For such, there is a great harvest. A great harvest ahead. Now this morning, in this room are many people who are believers in Jesus. And I've spoken mainly to you this morning. But in this room also, there may be some people who have not yet confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their life. And so you naturally live by the flesh if you have not accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. That's the natural life. But today, through the grace of God and the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus, you can have a new perspective. You don't have to live a flesh life. You can live a spirit life because Jesus came to give life and to give it abundantly. We offer to you today His gift of life that comes through our repentance and His forgiveness. So when I ask Him to forgive, He forgives. When I acknowledge Him as Lord, He becomes the Lord of my life. And so this morning we invite you to receive His gift today. Perhaps today you're worshiping with us and you've been doing so for a while and God's calling you to be a part of this church to participate with us in the mission that He's placed it on here in this community and the world to fulfill the Great Commission by loving people into a growing relationship with Jesus. And we would welcome members at this time. Come and join with us in the mission as we seek to help every person come to confess Jesus as Lord. We stand together to sing, "I Surrender All." So this morning I ask you, would you surrender? If you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, and you're controlling, directing your own life, this is time to just say, "I surrender all." And give your life to Christ and let Him give you the gift of life. If you desire to unite with our church, come and share with us. So while we sing, if you have a decision to make, come to the front and share with me that decision this morning.